and turn to the book of John in chapter 9 tonight. John chapter 9. Our pastor was in this story not too long ago. I'm not sure if it was this account or not. But I wrote some things down that touched my heart and through that message. And I just want to preach to you a message tonight entitled Stand Up for Jesus. I don't know how often I'll use that phrase tonight. But we do need to stand up for Jesus. And we do need to be strong in that stand. If you think about Peter, we know that he denied Christ. And we're hard on him in this particular situation. We know that, from the Lord's Supper, after that he was sleeping and just kind of on his way down of showing some weakness there, and then following afar off after, Peter was good because he said all the right things, right? But then when it came to execute, it just wasn't quite there, especially that night. And so we could pick apart all the things that maybe he did wrong. But if you look at a couple of the few weaknesses right there in his life at the time, it was no wonder that he was not ready to stand for Jesus in the name of Jesus when he was warming his hands with the world by the fire. And, we talk about what he did wrong, but let me ask you this. If you were there, if you were walking with Jesus, 3.5 years of his ministry, you watched him heal everyone. You watched him raise Lazarus to life. You watched him feed the 5,000. He calmed the storm. And then he was transfigured right in front of you. But then he was arrested. And everything just completely turns upside down. Yes, we know he should have been listening to what Jesus had plainly told all the disciples. But hey, that's quite a twist. That's quite a shock. I can't imagine any one of us doing much better in that situation. But tonight, I just want to point out that it looks like Peter was not on the upswing when all this happened in his life. He was kind of fading. And so Peter maybe had been strong, but was getting weaker. But this man that we're going to read about here in John chapter 9, well, he was completely opposite. He was weak. God showed himself strong through the weakness. I may have had a little ability to pick the first song tonight of Stand Up for Jesus, but I didn't pick the special tonight. That was a blessing. But you'll find here where this man was weak and weak from birth, and God was able to show himself strong in that weakness. And then because he was able to use this victory in the right way, he became stronger, and he did not, as Peter had done, deny Christ when in front of a lot of people and a lot of pressure. Read with me in John chapter 9 and starting at verse 1 tonight. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, whilst it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which were before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Verse number 10, Therefore said they unto him, How are thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and did see, and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that where I was blind, now I see. Amen. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins. Dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity now to read this wonderful story, Lord, that is true. You were here. You did walk among men for those 33 and a half years and minister and pour your love out upon everyone you met. And we thank you, Lord, for this man that you work with. You don't tell us his name, Lord, but we don't need to know. You know. Thank you for this man. Thank you for his stand this day and for the strength you gave him through his victory to take that stand and do it in the right way. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and power as I preach this. May it help someone tonight and use it to strengthen the people. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we have this man here, born blind, and he receives this miraculous healing from Jesus Christ himself. Now, I just want to point out that this healing had some faith to it because he could not see. Jesus was there. He had heard about Jesus. He had heard about the things Jesus was doing. But Jesus spits in the ground. He makes he forms that clay, and he puts it on his eyes and tells him, go wash. Later on in the story, he says, I don't know where he is. This man has been healed. He still has never seen Jesus Christ with his own eyes. It's all by faith. What an example it is to us. Hey, we haven't seen him yet, have we? I'm sure looking forward to seeing him. And boy, I can't wait for that day. But we're just like him. Amen. If you're saved here tonight, you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, once and for all, you are born again. You did that by faith. You still haven't seen your Savior. And this man hadn't either. He'd been saved. He'd been healed. He had trusted by faith in that. And still, even after, he had not had the privilege of seeing Jesus face to face. What a parallel of his life with ours and the Christians of today. But this man made a miraculous, for a brand new Christian, a miraculous stand in front of and against a lot of different odds and pulls, in front of the political, the religious, the majority crowd, the everything. His family, his parents are there, and they're too scared to stand too. Their son was born blind. They've been leading him around their entire life. He's got to beg now. He's been begging, and now he doesn't have to do that anymore. Now he's healed. And they're not excited enough to go ahead and stand up for the one who did it. That's right. The one who did that for them. The one who worked that miracle. There's a little piece there of fear that we can talk about later. But I just want to mention some things tonight about being able to stand for Jesus. We know that Peter stood for Jesus in many ways, but that one night there, he denied Christ three times. And there's some reasons why he was not able to stand that night. I want to talk tonight about the reasons the things that this guy, we don't know his name, but this healed a person did that were the right things that allowed him to stand. Now, we're all born sinners. We're all born with that spirit that is dead in its trespasses and sins. And the only thing that soul without the live spirit, made alive again by the Holy Spirit and the payment of Jesus Christ's blood on the cross, that soul, the only thing it deserves is to spend eternity in hell. It's just that's the cold hard fact of the beginning of where we were. And then when we trust Jesus Christ, our Savior, everything changes. Everything changes. We're cut away from that flesh. We're unified with that brand, made alive spirit. And we're able now to go to heaven for eternity. But there's so much more after that. And can I say that us being saved on the day that you got saved, on the day that you trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, was that not the greatest victory of all time in your life?
Amen.
Amen. But it wasn't the end. You see, we have a bad habit of getting these great victories with God and saying, wow, that was amazing. Okay, I'm good. When the victory was never there to give us a reason to stop fighting, the reason to stop growing, a reason to stop standing for Jesus. It was there to propel us on, to be able to stand stronger, to gain bigger victories, to say, I want that mountain now. And so sometimes I think we take all the victories and we don't put them, we don't give them the proper place or credit in our life. We don't give God the glory, and then they don't carry have the same weight in our life to where we can use them to go on. Because understand that the battle for your soul was just that, a battle. It was not the war. It was not the entire thing. And the battle that you just won recently, well, if you won that, praise God, but that's not the war. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And we don't need to suffer any more loss than we have already as a church, as Christian individuals. God doesn't save us so that we can wallow around in defeat for the rest of our lives. He saves us. He gives us that victory so we can begin obeying Him. We get in the baptistry waters. What a victory. What a victory. Amen. That's obedience to a simple command. We think that's just a small thing, and maybe it is a small thing, but it's a step in the right direction. It's another victory. It's the next victory in the war. And what does that do? Well, that opens up everything. It opens up a person to obey anything else God might tell him to do, anything else God might bring him through. It gives him the faith to be able to conquer that as well. We have a young man here that was able to stand in a marvelous way. Why? Not because he was a strong person. Not because he had this exuberance and this excitement that he had been healed. Was he excited? Yeah. We look at another man that Peter was able to heal later that was just leaping. Was he excited? Absolutely. And nothing wrong with that. But that's not the power that gets us to stand. That's not the power we need when it comes time to decide whether we're going to take the easy way out or stand. No, this man used some things here, and he trusted, continued with that faith in his God, and stood in his strength. He realized it was God's strength that was able to make him see and make him perfect and whole again. And he used that same faith in that same strength to stand that day. Number one tonight, I just want to encourage us to cling to our victories. Amen. Cling to your victories. For attack is coming. Immediately after he was saved, immediately after he received his sight, what happened? People began to question. People began to doubt. People began to attack. What was it time to do? Woo, man, I got a victory. No, it's time to stand. It was an opportunity right after that to win another battle, to take a stand. Cling to victories in your life, for attack is coming. Look at verse number 25. He was clinging. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that where I was blind, now I see. Amen. Hey, if you read all the verses before that, there's a lot of different people, including his parents, including the crowd and Pharisees and all these folks, the political and religious leaders, everybody's pretty much against him. But he clung to that victory. He clung to it. He didn't let go of that. What has Christ done for you personally? Many of us in here can say tonight that we've been saved. That's a wonderful thing. And you know what? We ought to every single day stir up the remembrance of that. Stir up the remembrance of that. Cling to that victory in your life. You're His. Let it remind you you belong to Him. Let it remind you that His strength is perfect in you and that He lives in you. Let it remind you. Amen. Cling to that victory in your life. You say, everything fought me today of coming to church tonight. Hey, there's a victory tonight that you're even here. Amen? Amen. And so praise the Lord. Cling to that. Cling to it. Don't let it stop right there. Get the next victory God has for you. What has Christ done for you personally? Now, I think of some recent things. We were asking prayer a couple of weeks ago for some storage for our ministry, some of the projects and everything. And about a week later, this lady calls us up and says, here, it's full of trash and you'll have to throw it all away, but you can have this box trailer. It's just like the one the church has here. Oh, by the way, it's a soft floor. Well, by the time we got to the bottom of that thing, God must have just hardened it up for us because I don't see anything wrong with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. $17 sunroof and it doesn't leak anymore. Wow. And we've got some storage there. What a victory. Well, guess what? Attack right around the corner. You know. Cling to those victories. Hey, we're praying for those Brazilian scriptures. We get two pallets delivered to our house, and I called up a friend down in Texas that I know, and he's been shipping stuff for a while. I asked him, hey, what are you doing? And he said, well, there's this great company that loves moving scripture around the world, especially down to Chile and, you know, South America and Dominican Republic and those kind of places. And let me hook you up with him. And this guy is a fireball, man. He's not our flavor. But let me tell you, he is all about it. And God's connected us with these people. And 2/3 of the quote gets that pallet from my house through Miami all the way down to a port in Brazil for $1,600. Now, the most expensive part is probably going to be within the country of Brazil, okay? But, hey, God can do anything. God can do anything. And we get these victories, and we continue to cling to those things. Do not forget about those things. Use them to stand. Use them to stand, because the harder times are right around the corner after a victory. You know the devil doesn't like what we're trying to do. He just doesn't. Y'all believe in it? Do you believe that we have an enemy that's trying to do whatever he can to just make sure one soul gets distracted or doesn't get the gospel? I do. I can see him fighting all the time. Let me tell you, Christians, too many times we come to church, we listen to the praises, we listen to the prayer requests, and we trust on other people's victories rather than getting some of our own. So, oh man, well, God gave an air conditioner to the Whittingtons. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Amen. 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 We just got to, hey, use some other people's victories, but get some of your own and cling to them. And when you get a victory, it doesn't mean you're done. It means climb on to the next one. Let me put it this way tonight. Victories, God allows us victories in our life to produce something good. They're supposed to produce something in our life, through our life. The people of Israel went back after they had gotten out of Egypt. They finally get into the promised land. What do they have? They have a lot of battles. They win a lot of victories. That was supposed to produce something. A promise coming to fruition in their life, a land flowing in milk and honey, a place where they could freely worship their God. That wasn't so they could sit around and forget God, which they ended up later doing, huh? You see, even the children of Israel fell into this thing of getting all the victories and then taking, what does the foolish man in the New Testament say? I will eat, drink, and be merry. Take my life of ease. If we could just give up on this worldly philosophy of I'm looking for my life of ease, we'll be so much more effective in the battle. Because our rest is not here. We're looking for our rest here, so we get a victory and we think we're done, and now we can No. Our rest is way beyond. Amen. It's coming. But we're to continue standing. We're to continue fighting. We're to continue on to the next victory. So cling to those victories. They're supposed to produce something else in our life. They're supposed to strengthen us for the next battle. They're supposed to strengthen our faith in His strength for the next problem so we can get an even bigger victory. Are you content with the few victories you've had in your life? Are you content with the last victory you had in your life? That's what happens. Of somebody content with the last victory in their life. I'm not saying not thankful for it. I'm not saying not praising God for it. I'm saying content with it. That person has no more victories after that until they say, you know what? I need to get back up. I need to stand. Amen. So victories should not be the end. They should be the beginning of greater things in and through our life. Because we didn't win the victory. Sometimes we think that, huh? We didn't win it. God won it for us, through us. So cling to those victories. Number two tonight, and I tried not to step on this point, but don't let what people say squash your victory. You had a victory. That's a big deal. I don't care what anyone else says. God did something for you. It's a big deal. Amen. And you make it a big deal. And you keep it a big deal. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says about it. You see, like I said, many would say, you know, it says over and over, I underline this all through this chapter. Some said, they say, others said, the Pharisees said. Many of them questioned, right? We see where the parents even said. This man clung to his victory, and he clung to simple truth, and it got him past what everybody else was saying. And you watch what he says here at the very end of the story. He's making the point. We know it is wrong to do wrong to get a right or a desired result. I can go twist somebody's arm all day long and make them pray a prayer. And I can say, look, somebody got saved. But I didn't do it right. Holy Spirit was far from that prideful, selfish motive. And nothing comes of it. This man knew, clung to the basic fact. There's no, all the intellectuals, all the Pharisees are standing there with their facts. With their knowledge. But he clings to a simple truth that says, you know what? If this guy was not of God, he would not have been able to heal me.
That's right.
That's it. Clean cut. And if you don't want to accept that truth, okay. But that's where I'm standing. You can say whatever you want to say. It may sound good. But if it disagrees with that basic tenet, I'm standing here.
Amen.
Don't let people, what people say, squash the victory in your life. Minimize the victory in your life. Don't let what others say trump the truth that you know and that you'll stand for. Think about it. We're so susceptible to this. Eve in the garden, she knew the truth. She knew. She recited it. Add a little bit to it, but it only strengthened, right? Don't even touch it. Okay, I can go with that standard. What did she do? She listened. That's it. She listened. She didn't compare it again with the truth and see if it fully matched up, and began to consider. What happens when we consider what other people are saying? What happens when we begin to see that there might be a little shade of truth in what other people are saying? What about that Sabbath day and working on the Sabbath and He didn't do that. I don't know all the law. I don't know the details, the ins and outs. I'm not a lawyer. But I can tell you that no matter what day he did it on, I know what he did. And that kind of power only comes from God. Amen. And, well, he can work on him about the Sabbath if there's a problem there. Isn't that amazing? We start giving what other people say more authority than what the person who actually has the authority to deal with the problem. Amen. That's what the Pharisees were doing, trying to keep the authority. We give audience to the wrong thing. Then we try to reconcile it together with the truth, and it only destroys the power of the truth in our life. And ends up making us cling to a lie more than the victory. It minimizes the victory in our life. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine what this guy would have felt had he gone and listened to those folks talk about how he was Jesus was wrong for healing on the Sabbath day? I can see now, but it was wrong, and I. This guilty feeling of, I'm glad I can see, but it happened in this wrong way, and so I just don't feel good about it anymore. Might as well just not ever having been healed, because it's too weak to stand now. It's not standing. The victory is, it's there. It's apparent. It reminds him every day about that time that he didn't stand. It's the same feeling Peter had when he turned around and he saw Jesus after that third cock crow. He ran away. He wept. He had this severe guilt. And praise the Lord, God was able to raise him up and forgive him and restore him from that point. And God is able to do that. But if you let the world in, if you let others, what other people say and what other people's interpretation come in, and you start considering that, and you start trying to reconcile that little bit of shade of might be sounding good truth with the pure truth, you begin to minimize that victory in your life, and the strength of God is not there anymore. God wants us to continue to have faith in that victory, have faith in that strength, and the strength to move us on to the next thing. And he didn't allow what anybody said to take him away from the basic tenets of truth that he knew to be the case. I don't know that I've explained that point very well, but I hope the Holy Spirit was able to drive it home a little bit, understanding the power of just considering what someone else might think about it, what some other religion might. Oh, you got saved? Oh, well, you can't know that. Oh, you got saved? Well, now you got to keep it. Do you see what happens to somebody's victory when somebody just starts listening to someone else? And then maybe they don't even know the truth yet to be able to bounce it off of there and say, oh, no. No, that soul winner, he went through that with me. He said, I'm in God's hand now, and no man can pluck me out. I remember that. Hey, maybe he didn't get that much truth yet. What does it do to that brand new Christian? He's just as saved, but it's different now, isn't it? It's different. That victory is not doing the same thing, having the same effect on him anymore because, oh, what if I sin tomorrow or on my way home? Or the destruction of listening to what other people say that might minimize that victory in your life. Oh, really? God gave you a trailer? Well, that was going to happen anyway. All right. I'm going to let you have that one. I'm going to turn around and give God more glory for that. Amen. So that I can cling to that victory and not allow that bucket of water to be pouring on a fire that God is starting in my ministry.
Amen.
Amen. And when you get a victory, don't let any water come on from what others might say.
That's good. Amen.
Number three, and finally tonight, how are we doing? 9 o'clock, no problem. I'm just kidding. Don't look at your watches. Number three tonight. Don't be duped into taking the easy way out.
Amen.
When God puts you in a position to stand, take the opportunity and stand.
Amen.
This guy, you read through this story, we won't pick apart all these verses tonight, but you know the story. He had a lot of little opportunities to just kind of, well, no, I don't want to go see the Pharisees right now. Because they took him there, didn't they? Why did he come back from the pool of Siloam? I can see you. Let's go home now. No, he came back. He probably wanted to see Jesus. He probably wanted to thank him. He probably wanted to rejoice. Hey, his parents are probably there. He wanted to rejoice with them and tell her. He came back. They wanted to take him to the Pharisees. He could have snuck out. You know, even while he was talking to the Pharisees, he could have just, you know, this is where he could have let the words come in. Or maybe he wouldn't have believed it, but maybe he didn't want to stand. And maybe right there in verse number 24 where they use this sly little, man, it's amazing how Satan can be so involved in the church. Because these Pharisees are just so, the way they word things, listen to this. Give God the praise. Well, that sounds good. I mean, it's the right words, is it not? So, give God the praise. We know this man's a sinner. You know, here's an opportunity for him to say, yep, praise God, I'm healed. Y'all have a great day. I'm going to go enjoy the rest of my Sabbath. There was an opportunity to get out. There was multiple times through here, and if you look at every great victory that is won, watch Jesus all the way to the cross, how many opportunities Satan gave him to just say, you know what, never mind. Satan was right there. Satan was right here giving him opportunities to just nice and easy. Hey, right after that, his parents are saying, I don't know. Well, hey, my parents aren't standing for Christ. I'll just take the easy way out, say something that sounds good. And you see, count them. Read through there tonight. Count the opportunities that he could have weaseled himself out of it.
Right.
He wasn't duped into any of those. He didn't take any of those opportunities. Was he tempted? Was he flesh? Yeah, I think he was tempted to not stand there in front of the Pharisees and this crowd and parents that are apparently anti-me seeing now. I mean, right at the very beginning. Is this he? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. You know what that sounds like to me? Hey, this man, I think he was with Jesus. I think he was one of them. No. Yeah. Your speech, Bereithi. No. Bleep, bleep, bleep. There was an opportunity right there. No, I'm not he. Glad I didn't trip over that chair. He said, I am he. Jesus Christ did something for me, and I'm not going to back down. He had a lot of ways to get out of this. But he gave Jesus the credit, and then what? What does that do in the Pharisees' eyes? It makes him equal with God, and something the Pharisees just could not relinquish. Let me tell you, taking the easy road does not help the cause of Christ.
That's right.
It will never help the cause. Well, someone else will do it. No. I preached a message a long time ago. Are you helping or are you hindering? There's no gray area here. He had an opportunity to stand. That's helping. And it probably changed some people's minds in the crowd that day. It probably gave someone else some boldness that day. Some stronger faith in God that day. So the things that came from him standing and that victory would have not happened had he not stood. So him not standing would have hindered the cause of it. You can't do nothing, Christian. You can't have no effect. It's either going to be a positive, victorious effect or a negative, hindering effect with your life and your decisions. That's where it's at. There's no middle ground. There's no, well, I'm just on the bench. No, that's not how it is. You're either helping or you're hindering. Don't be duped into taking the easy road. Help out the cause of Christ. Get another victory. Let God use you. Let me ask you tonight. Are you rising up toward victory or are you falling back to failure? It's true. Peter was just kind of falling back that night, and he fell back into the world, and he fell back, and then failure. We can all get up from failure, but let me tell you, the victory is so much better.
Amen.
The victory is so much better. Take the victories and go on, and find another one. Stay involved in the battle. If you're rising up, you'll be able to stand. If you're down tonight, you can get up.
Amen.
Y'all know the song. God is looking for someone to fill an empty place, to live a life of holiness, to defy the world's embrace, to count all gain as loss for the glory of the cross, a city on a hill for everyone to see. Stand for Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Stand for Jesus. Claim his name. For he loved you on an old rugged cross with arms held open wide. Stand for Jesus. He's standing by your side.
Amen.
You see, this man never saw Jesus. He wasn't physically standing there anymore. But he was with him. He was in him. The strength was there. And he went on and worked. He got a victory, and then he won another victory right afterwards. Why? Because he clung to his victories. He didn't let what other people say have an effect on him. And he didn't get duped by Satan and taking the easy road out.